This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is freshman Ohio Republican Congressman Bob Gibbs, who represents the Buckeye State's 18th Congressional District. He joins me now to talk about how he and some of his other freshman members of the new Congress are reacting to this debt limit debate, and specifically how they're reacting to what is expected to be the passage later tonight of the Republican cut, cap, and balance plan on the House floor. Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
I'm glad to be here.
Obviously, the debt, the amount of government spending, was a major issue that got Republicans control of the Congress in 2010. So now this is where the rubber's meeting the road. As you look back at your campaign promises, how you've assessed our debt problem over the past several months, what do you believe is the biggest issue that needs to be dealt with?
Well, the deficit spending and the piling up all this debt is the biggest problem facing this country right now. It's a major challenge. It's not sustainable. We absolutely got to get our fiscal house in order if we expect to grow and remain a strong country.
Well, the cut, cap, and balance is pretty simple. It would cut spending, I believe, starting with about $111 billion in the next fiscal year, and eventually it would, in about 10 years, get to the point where it would, in fact, revenues would be matching expenditures. Those spending levels would then be capped and enforced through a balanced budget amendment. I assume you're supporting it. Why do you believe this is the best approach?
Well, I think it's the only way. I learned a long time ago, back when I was in the Ohio legislature, that when money's rolling in the government, it's easier for our elected officials to say yes. And we got to the point now at the federal level, we just keep on spending. If you look back in history, in 1985, they did the Graham-Rudman-Hollings Act, the Budget Enforcement Act, 1990, pay-as-you-go, more recent years. And those have just been temporary commitments to control spending, and they didn't last. And I think, you know, making it permanent in the balanced budget amendment's the only way to enforce it. 49 states operate under constitutional amendments to have a balanced budget at the end of every fiscal year, and I just think we have to do that. We just can't keep on the path we're on.
I was talking with one of your Republican colleagues a little bit earlier today, and he said that it's great to cut spending, it's great to cap spending. He says, but without the enforcement of the balanced budget amendment, future Congresses could basically do whatever they wanted, and we'd be right back in the same problem. So if, in fact, the balanced budget amendment does not succeed, what will be the House Republican plan?
Well, we'll see what happens on the vote today. I think it will pass out of the House. Hopefully the Republicans in the Senate can put pressure on Majority Leader Reid to put it up for a vote and start there. I think if you're serious about making the cuts and getting this country on the right track, you have to go this route. The president hasn't laid out a plan. He's given a lot of speeches, and that's frustrating to me because we really need to see a plan from him. And I think by putting the cuts out to 6 to 10 years up down the road is not the prudent thing to do. And by the way, Moody's and Standard & Poor's, the rating agencies, came out and said, hey, you got to raise the debt ceiling, but you also got to put us on a path of fiscal responsibility and reforms. And if you don't do that, we still might downgrade the U.S. paper. So that's where we're at. I mean, it's like you say, the rubber's meeting the road right now, and it's time to take the action to avoid a complete economic mess.
We're talking with Ohio Republican Congressman Bob Gibbs. And, Congressman, from what we understand, this cut, cap, and balance act would largely follow along the parameters of the Ryan plan, meaning that Medicare would not be dealt with for about 10 years, although the structure for reform could certainly be put in place. But the idea is to have it 10 years as it currently exists. If, in fact, that wouldn't be touched financially for the next decade, where would you envision the largest and most significant cuts coming from?
Well, I think we've laid out where those cuts are. There's some discretionary spending. You know, there's some things in defense and procurement. There's the agencies, of course, have had significant spending increases the last 2-3 years. And I think we've laid that out in our budget that we passed. And it's tough to get a lot of upfront cuts here because so much of the budget is what I call is on autopilot. You know, it's Medicare, Social Security, and interest. Yeah, that's why we need the reforms to put in place so we can get on that track, the right path of lower spending in the future.
The president claims that 80% of Americans support his approach to this. The numbers don't quite bear that out, but the numbers do kind of float around, and it seems like a lot of folks, a lot of independents even, are okay with the tax hikes on the wealthy, although a lot of Americans also are very much opposed to that idea. What would be the impact of that in your district and beyond?
Well, I think, you know, I know the president likes to make a big deal about corporate jets and all these loopholes and everything. And if there's some things out there, tax expenditures, we can clean up, and we should do that. But I think that when he's talking, the level he's talking about, that includes a lot of small and medium-sized business owners that are pass-through entities that are paying, you know, their S-corps and LLCs, and they're paying their taxes on at those higher rates. It's going to take more money out of their businesses to invest in their businesses and job growth. So I think it has a detrimental impact, and I think when people really think about that, it's just not taxing the millionaires and billionaires. It's taxing a lot of our job creators, our small businesses.
If it comes down to this, and I know you don't like to do the hypothetical because you're hoping that this will get past the Senate, but the president has vowed to veto this even if it does get through the Senate, and that would certainly be a steep hill to climb. You mentioned earlier about the different ideas you're hearing from your constituents in terms of some say don't raise the debt ceiling at all, others say do it in a way that actually deals with the issue. So if, in fact, you get to August 2nd and the options are basically make a deal with the president sort of on his terms, go with the McConnell plan, or not extend it at all, what where do you lean?
Well, I guess we'll have to see when we get there. I think, you know, part of this is, it's kind of a chess game, and you don't want to lay your cards on the table. But I think it's, important that we get this under control, and we'll just have to see how we get there in the next 2 weeks. So I don't really want to essentially put my cards on the table.
There is certainly a couple of weeks left. As an exit question, you mentioned your time in the state legislature. Ohio is one of several Midwestern states that has dealt with some pretty contentious debates in order to get spending under control and get the budgets balanced. What has been the impact of that in the early term, and do you think something like what happened in Ohio or Wisconsin could reasonably be done on the federal level?
Well, we're trying. I think a lot of it is, it's kind of a communication and education process where citizens can start understanding what the situation we're in, what the impact is, the consequences of doing nothing. And that's the thing nobody really talks about, doing nothing. You know, don't address the reforms to make sure that we strengthen Medicare and Social Security so it's sustainable and actuarially sound. But doing nothing, it guarantees that those especially Medicare, will collapse in 9 to 12 years.
We'll certainly be watching a lot of difficult decisions and debates to be had still probably in the next couple of weeks. Congressman, good of you to be with us today.
Okay, thanks.
Ohio Republican Congressman Bob Gibbs represents his state's 18th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.